I do thank Mr. Santos for leading the meeting this morning. Much appreciated. And I would like you to turn now to the portion of Scripture our brother read there in Luke chapter 8. Once again, I do thank you for your prayers over these past number of months. And I would appreciate it if you'd continue to remember us in prayer. I just don't have the strength that I had before. I don't think age has anything to do with it, but anyway, I do appreciate your prayers and do remember the witness there in Port Hope. Luke chapter 8. With God's word open before us, let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Loving eternal Father and most gracious God, we bow once again in thy holy presence. We know thou art God and God alone. Beside thee there is none else. Lord, we have come to thy house this Sabbath day to worship thee. We thank thee for this opportunity, Lord, to be here. And in thy providence, Lord, thou hast brought us today. We ask, Lord, thou wilt draw near to each one of us. Lord, open our hearts to receive the word. Give us help today to preach that word. Lord, bless this congregation. We thank thee for it. Remember Dr. and Mrs. Saunders. Thank thee for them and bless them. Lord, in their time of drawing aside and have a rest with the family. So, Lord, we look to thee. I pray, Lord, thou would grant to me the help of the Holy Spirit of God to preach the word. And Lord, in preaching the word, help me to preach Christ, to speak well of him, his finished work, and his precious shed blood. Lord, abide with us now. Draw near to each one. May we be conscious of thy presence. May we even, Lord, sense the rustle of thy garments as thou dost come and move amongst us. We ask all these things in our Savior's name for his praise and honor and glory. Amen. Luke chapter 8. I'd like to consider this morning the verses 2 and 3. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Speaking about the Lord Jesus and his earthly ministry, the Apostle Peter said of him that being anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10, verse 38. And here in our reading this morning, in these two verses, Luke gives us an example of the Savior's going about and doing good. And we are told that he went throughout every city and village. It is no wonder then that the dear Savior often worked and labored himself to the point of exhaustion. We have an example of that if you go over to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, and we read verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other ships. Notice those words. They took him, even as he was. That simply means the Lord Jesus was so tired, physically exhausted. He'd been ministering to multitudes. And when he told the disciples to pass over onto the other side, the Savior was so exhausted, the disciples had to help him into the ship. They took him even as he was. And we know then that when he entered the ship, we read in the verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. In spite of the storm, the Lord was fast asleep. Evidently, he was completely exhausted because he went about doing good into every city and every village. Every day for Christ was the same. Yes, exhausted, going about doing good. Yes, exhausted, for the days of his brief earthly ministry were spent visiting cities and villages, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. You ever been exhausted doing the work of God? Ever been in that place where you've been serving the Lord so much to the point of exhaustion? Well, that's the way it was with the dear Savior. And we are told that the 12 were with him, 12 disciples. But wait, not only were the 12 disciples with him, we read certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities were with him also. Now, with the Lord's help, I want to consider these women, for they would have much to teach us about true discipleship, what it is to serve the Lord. I can refer to these women as the serving sisters. They were not natural sisters, but they were sisters in the Lord. And they served the Lord, the serving sisters. Let us first of all consider the women and their salvation, remembering what Peter said about Christ. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. Again, Acts 10:38. Well, here we are told about some of those possessed whose lives were changed by Christ. Bless the Lord. Here we see that Luke refers to them, first of all, as certain women. That's what he says. And certain women, which were healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Certain women. The fact that the Lord referred to them as certain women teaches us that the Lord set those women apart. Certain women served him. No, not them all. Not all women, just certain women. You know, when the Lord told the story about the man who had fallen amongst thieves, we're told about a certain Samaritan. The fact that the Samaritan went to aid the man who had fallen among thieves, that set him apart from other Samaritans, and it certainly set him apart from the priest and the Levite who passed the Lord, who passed this man by. Certain Samaritan. Again, the same word is used to describe a woman who exalted the Lord. Just look there in Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which gave thy suck. A certain woman. No, not all women. A certain woman. That set that woman apart. Another example is in Luke 21. Just look at Luke 21. Luke 21 in the opening verses. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. A certain widow. And what the Lord said about her set her apart from everybody else. That's what the Lord said. She was a poor woman. She cast in two mites. And the Lord said she cast in more than any other. And so ministering unto Christ, that set these women apart here in Luke chapter 8. And certain women. And so, believer, let us join these women. Let us join with them, our sisters in the Lord, and serve the Lord as these women served the Master. Not only are they referred to as certain women, we notice they were converted women. The lives of these women had been changed by the power of Christ. And we see that the grace of God manifested itself, particularly in the life this woman, Mary Magdalene. Should be pointed out that Mary Magdalene is not the same woman we read about in Luke 7, who entered into the house of a Pharisee and fell down at the Lord's feet and kissed his feet and washed his feet with her tears. For I have heard others say, oh, that's the same woman. No, it's not. There is absolutely no scriptural evidence to say it was the same woman. No. Is it Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene was a woman whose life was controlled by Satan. Notice, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits of infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Isn't that interesting? Seven devils. Now we know that the number seven in Scripture is the number of completeness. Mary Magdalene was under the complete control of Satan. She was a woman, you could say, was like a prisoner. She'd been imprisoned by Satan. She'd been held captive, as they say, like someone in prison. That is until she met the Master. And the devils and the powers of hell had to bow to the omnipotent power of Christ. Praise his name. For he is the one who breaks the power of cancels sin and sets the prisoner free. And him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Yes, but notice the words again in verse 2 regarding Mary Magdalene. It says, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Out of whom went seven devils. In other words, when Christ comes into someone's life, Satan has to go out. Hallelujah. No, Satan and Christ cannot abide, as it were, under the same roof. When Christ came into this woman's life, Satan went out. That's the power of the Lord. And how did she repay him? Well, she was one who ministered unto him. The other two women mentioned by name are Joanna and Susanna. Joanna's not spoken of again until Luke 24, verse 10. And it's still in connection with Christ. So all that we know about these two women, Joanna and Susanna, is what we have here. That's right. Susanna is not mentioned again in all of Scripture. Never mentioned again. Joanna is only mentioned one more time. So all that we know about them is that they ministered unto Christ. But really, isn't that all that matters? Isn't that all that matters, what our relationship is with Christ? And if we minister unto him, that's all that matters in the light of eternity. If we are not known for anything else in this world, we will have lived our lives well if we know Christ and have ministered unto him. Because that's all that matters in the light of eternity. That's all that matters. And here regarding Joanna and Susanna, we're not told anything else about them, other than with Mary Magdalene and other women, they served the Lord. As well as noticing these certain women and converted women, they most definitely were consecrated women. There can be no doubt these women lived lives, they were consecrated to Christ. They, along with many others, put Christ first in their lives. First. Whatever life Mary Magdalene lived before the Lord saved her and drove out the seven devils, now we see she lived for Christ. And consider Joanna, listen, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. Yet here she is following and serving the Savior. Being the wife of Herod's steward, and so living in an ungodly house, evidently she would have been a witness there in that house. And now we see that Joanna is serving the Lord and has put Christ first in her life. That's like someone who's a believer. They're living in an unsaved home. Maybe they are the only person in that home, in that family, who are saved. Maybe you find it difficult. Maybe somebody here today. And you find it difficult. Well, follow the example of Joanna. She lived in an ungodly home, Cusa, Herod's steward. But she lived for the Lord. Even though others in that house wouldn't want anything to do with Christ, well, Joanna did. She ministered unto the Lord. She and the others were true disciples indeed. Just over there in Luke 14, we're told what a true disciple is. Luke 14, verse 26. And verse 25, and there were great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The Lord was saying here, that to be a true disciple of his, we're to love the Lord more than anybody else. And here's Joanna. And we're told where she lived and the home she came from. And she lived her life for the Lord. She lived for Christ, ministering unto him, going with him through the cities and the villages, ministering unto Christ. She lived for the Lord. Ah, believer, are we living for the Lord? Are we out and out for Christ? Sure, he deserves it, doesn't he? That we give to Christ our all. That was Joanna and Susanna. We know nothing more about Susanna other than what is written about her here. And what is written tells us that like the others, she lived a consecrated life serving her master. Would you join them today? Would you join these women, these serving sisters? Do what you can for the Lord. It's all that matters. It's all that matters in this life. We've considered the women and their salvation. We've gone now to the women and their service. We're told here how these women served the Lord. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. There is an important truth here that we need to highlight. A truth that we need to highlight, first of all, about the Master, Christ, the Master. We're told that the women ministered unto him of their substance. But think of it. Why would they have to do that? Why would they have to minister unto the Lord of their substance? The word ministered means supplied. They supplied the Lord of their substance. Think of it. He who supplied the need of multitudes. The same Master, the same Christ, supplied the needs of multitudes with loaves and fishes. And yet here we read about the women supplying the Lord. Here we have the women meeting the needs of the Savior. How do I explain that then? Well, remember the words of Paul. Paul said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich," 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Yes, he became poor when he became man. And when he became man, he lived a life of poverty. He did. One day there were those who indicated they wanted to be his disciples. Well, the Lord had a sobering word for them. The Lord told them, "The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He told those would-be disciples, "I want you to know, I do not have a home of my own. I don't have a house." Indeed, you read through the Gospels and you'll read that many a time the Lord went up into a mountain and spent the whole night in the mountain in prayer while others went to their home. So these women ministered unto him by supplying his daily bread. That's right. That's what they did. They supplied his daily bread. And the Lord didn't expect his disciples to do something that he was not prepared to do. Go over, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 25. Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" That's what the Lord told his disciples. That's what the Lord told his disciples about how they would live. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or not eat. Didn't the Lord teach the disciples about prayer? That the Lord would supply their daily bread. That's what the Lord told his disciples. And lo and behold, here we have the Lord Jesus himself. And he's having his daily bread supplied for him. In other words, the God of heaven used these women to supply daily bread for the Savior. Oh, I tell you, we have a wonderful Savior. Here he is, living as the disciples lived, depending for his daily bread to be given to him by these women. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's exactly what happened with Christ. The woman gave to Christ his daily bread. As well as the master, we notice the ministry. We are told that these women and many others ministered unto him of their substance. When we look at those words, verse 2, verse 3, we view here their ministry as their response. That is, how they responded to what the Lord had done for them in changing their lives. This is how they responded. You will notice the women were not asked to do this service. The women were not commanded to carry out this service. The women were not coerced into carrying out this service. No, it was their natural response to what Christ had done for them. And these women felt that in serving the Lord, it was the least that they could do. That's right. It was the least they could do to follow him through the cities and the villages and minister unto him of their substance. It was their response to what the Lord had done for them. You remember whenever the Lord went into the house of Simon Peter's mother, or mother-in-law, they went in and they found that she was sick of a fever. And the Lord went to her, took her by the hand, and listen. And immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Luke 4, verse 39. Immediately she arose and ministered unto them. In other words, she responded to what the Lord had done for her. It was the least she could do. Not right? It was the least that she could do for the Lord who had just healed her of her fever. Again, she wasn't asked, she wasn't coerced, she wasn't commanded. It was her response to what the Lord had done for her. Oh, that more Christians were like these women. You think of what you were before God saved you. And you think of that hour you are brought out of nature's darkness into light. You were saved and made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Sure, the least you could do would be to serve him. The least you could do. We respond to the goodness of the Lord by serving him as these women did. As well as their response regarding their ministry, it was a response to what the Lord had done. And we notice the reception. The Lord graciously and willingly received their ministry. The Lord received and accepted what these women did for him as they followed him around the cities and the villages. It's interesting. In light of what the Savior said about the matter of ministering, Matthew 20, and there we read in Matthew 20, in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Mark those words. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. I find that interesting, that the Lord came not to be ministered unto. And even though that was the case, the Lord came not to be ministered unto, as these women were doing. Nevertheless, he accepted their ministry. How privileged those women were to have the Lord accepting what they were doing for him. To have the King of Glory to receive what they did for him as his servants. What a privilege. Have you ever thought about serving the Lord? About serving the Lord? Have you ever thought about serving the Lord in that way? That it's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve him, because he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so when we do minister unto him, as these women did, that's a privilege that the Lord is pleased to accept our ministry. It's a privilege to serve the King. Bless his name. It's a privilege. See Ed Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, if God calls you to serve him, then don't stoop to be a king. If God calls you to serve him, then don't stoop to be a king. In other words, Spurgeon was saying, serving Christ is the highest calling of all. Bless the Lord. So regarding the ministry, we have noticed the master and the ministry and the materials. We are told that those serving sisters ministered unto him of their substance. The word substance there means goods or possessions. In other words, whatever they had, they gave to their Lord as they served him. Solomon in Proverbs 3, verse 9 said, honor the Lord with thy substance. Do we do that? Do we serve the Lord and honor him with our substance? Well, that's what these ladies did. Whatever they had, they gave to the Lord as he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the good tidings of the kingdom of God. So they accompanied him, doing what they could and giving what they could in their service for him. Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 8. Being in verse 3, 14 verse 3, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And I love the words of verse 6. Jesus said, let her alone. Let her alone. Stop your murmuring. Stop your criticism. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. Verse 8. She had done what she could. And you know, believer, that's all that the Lord expects. That we do what we can for the Master. We do what we can. And the Lord will commend us for it. Finally, and very briefly, we've seen the women and their salvation, the women and their service. You have the women and their steadfastness. We do not read anything more about these women until the end of Luke's Gospel in Luke 23. And here we see, first of all, they remained in the background that whole time of approximately 3 years' ministry of the Lord. And here we see the Lord went about cities and villages preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And we don't read anything more about them, these women, until we come to Luke 23. In other words, listen, that whole time they remained in the background. They remained in the background. And here we have them now from Luke 8 to Luke 23. And they appear regarding the Lord's crucifixion and then his burial. And there we notice their loyalty. They followed after him. We read about them right up until Luke 23. That is most commendable. You think of it. Think of all the evil things that were said about Christ during those years. How he was criticized, how he was condemned, and the attacks against him, how hatred was expressed by his enemies. But still, those women followed after. They remained loyal all the way, right to the cross, right to the sepulchre. No, they didn't distance themselves from him. No, they didn't deny him at any time. No, they didn't desert him. They were with him all the way. Continued serving the Lord of their substance, their loyalty, their love. The fact that they had for 3 years followed their Savior, ministering unto him of their substance, cannot be explained by any other way than they loved him. They loved him. Do we love the Lord? How much do we love him? Are we still following hard after him from the day we were saved? Or maybe you've wandered away. Maybe now you run with the worldly crowd. Oh, may the Lord bring you back today. We made reference at the beginning of that woman who entered the house of Simon the Pharisee. Went to the Lord and stood at his feet behind him, anointed him, wept so much that she was able to wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. And the Lord then told the Pharisee, do you know why she did this? She was forgiven much, so she loves much. Do you love the Lord? After all he has done for you, all that is forgiven you. The Lord said of that woman in the house of the Pharisee, she was forgiven much, so she loved much. Loved much. These women loved much. Their loyalty, their love, their liberality. You can read all about it in Mark 16. The morning they went to the grave and they brought with them precious spices to anoint the body of Christ. The spices they brought that morning, these same women, the spices they brought that woman that morning to the sepulchre of Christ to anoint him are the same spices that are used to anoint a king. And as they brought those spices that day, they wanted to anoint Christ as their king. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned pride. Lead me to Calvary. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. If you love the Lord, tell the Lord now that you love him. And you'll do what you can for him. Do it this morning. Our dear Lord, we thank thee for the ministry of those saved and serving women, for their loyalty and their love. Lord, make us like them. Better still, make us like the Savior. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.